The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What's up, nerds?
This is even the matchup that you're most excited to see. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And Raj, I want to see calls. I'm going to take a call like almost immediately. It's exciting, boy, these divisional matchups. When have there been so many great quarterbacks still left? Like, who's the worst quarterback left? Jared Goff's probably the worst quarterback left in the playoffs because he just had the thumb surgery and everything. And maybe even anyway, he's the worst left in the playoffs. He was the number one overall pick. He's been to a couple Pro Bowls. He went to a Super Bowl. He's the worst guy left. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. L.A., it looks like Aaron Donald will be good to go versus the Pack. I'll tell you how I like their chances in a few. Boy, what's his name? Lucas Patrick got his work cut out for him. By the way, these are offensive linemen. I don't even know if it's Lucas Patrick or Patrick Lucas. I know there's a Lucas and a Patrick. The man has two first names. But he is considered the weak link on the Packers' offensive line. And that's who Aaron Donald's going to be lined up against. No Bakhtiari. Jenkins is good. And what's his name? Lindsley is good. Those guys are going to have to help. Those are like Pro Bowl caliber guys. They're going to have to help out Lucas Patrick because Aaron Donald is coming. It's time for Straight Talk first, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and we're going to get off the NFL for a second because Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving has been fined $50,000 for violating the league's health and safety protocols. As Ralph Cramden used to say, mere bag of shells to Kyrie Irving. And ordered to take part in a five-day quarantine. He could return Saturday if he continues to test negative. That's great. Saturday is, according to my calculations, tomorrow. If he tests negative, I hope he does. I hope he has his personal life straightened out. Look, if a basketball player at this level, when he was integral part of bringing a super team together, when he takes time, he doesn't even show up to work, even though he's been oft injured and he has personal issues. Believe me, there's something going on in this dude's life. Even if he's at fault for something, he's dealing with something. He's dealing with and Kyrie. As much as I've criticized Kyrie for saying idiotic things like questioning whether the earth is flat, like question one on the idiot test is, do you think the earth is flat? If you say yes, I do, you're an idiot. That's the first question. That's a prerequisite in idiot college. Is, all right, let me see. I want to take this idiot advanced seminar. Let me see. Did you take, is the earth round 1.0? No, it's more like, is the earth flat 1.0? Oh, yeah, I got it. Kyrie got an A in that course. So I've criticized him and made fun of him for stuff like that. And like I've even said, Kyrie keeps telling everyone how smart he is. It's very important for him to be considered that way. And every time he opens his mouth, I hear no evidence of it. Like I've been plenty critical of Kyrie. And yet, I it didn't bother me that he was on a Zoom call for a candidate for district attorney. Doesn't bother me because that's a lot different than playing a basketball game. It's much easier to sit there on a Zoom call. You could deal with personal problems and still do that for a half hour. And that's different than being in shape, having your mind ready, being a good teammate, showing up and performing under the lights, you know, at the level of the NBA. So I'm not saying Kyrie's heart is in the wrong place, even if his head sometimes is. And I've been very complimentary of him in terms of his skills. I've said Kyrie Irving is arguably the most skillful player who ever lived in an insanely competitive sport. Let me tell you how competitive basketball is, okay? It is hardly hyperbole. It's barely an exaggeration to say that every single person on the planet Earth who is capable of playing in the NBA is playing in the NBA. Like, occasionally you hear of a dude 6'10" who played like high school basketball and never tried for the NBA. Like, that's Michael Crichton, the late writer, you know, who wrote, like, Jurassic Park and all those Pulp Fiction books. Because he could make tens of millions of dollars writing stuff. So he didn't try to play basketball, I guess. But basically, you know, like, every tall person on Earth tries to play basketball. There's huge financial incentive. It's a lot of fun. Enormous celebrity. If you're closer to 6 feet and you play in the NBA, you're out of control skillful. And if you're one of the best players ever and you're closer to 6 feet, it's like, that's Kyrie. Kyrie has the best handles of all time. Kyrie, certainly on a very short list, is a great outside shooter. He's got a great mid-range. He is the best finisher in the paint, under the basket, I've ever seen. Certainly also on a very short list. And he's a great passer when he wants to be. He can even play defense when he wants. So I've been highly complimentary of him that way. And yet have also said, it's one thing to have the talent and the skills. Talent you're born with, skills you acquire. He has both. It's another thing to be judicious in their deployment. And that, Kyrie hasn't always been. Over-dribbled, can alienate teammates in the locker room too. So I've just told you the truth about Kyrie as I see it. I hope he guys has his personal life in order. I hope he and his loved ones are all okay. I hope no one was like in jeopardy. And I hope he can play basketball because I really enjoy watching him play. He's the best show in the NBA by himself. And he has a chance to be part of something special for the Brooklyn Nets. Guys, how do you defend the Brooklyn Nets? How is it possible? Their best three players, two of them are MVP level. One of them's just below it. Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. He's the just below it guy. All of them can score on all three levels like no one's business. I mean, Harden never takes mid-range shots, but you would think if he can hit the three and he can hit free throws, he can hit a mid-range, right? But KD and Kyrie do. And they can all get their own shot whenever they want it. And by the way, they're all great passers when they want to be. The fourth option on the team shoots better than all of them. Joe Harris. Oh, I want to see this happen. So hopefully Kyrie does play on Saturday. He tests negative and he plays. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
The Jets are hiring former 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh as their new head coach. Signs agree on a 5-year deal.
Reminds me a lot of the calm of Herm Edwards, but the fire of Rex Ryan.
Roger, there we go. See, this is the way. Let me just tell you really quick what's going on here, because we need to get into this Jets hire right now. But it's COVID days. There's social distancing. Everyone's working at home. So there are lots of kind of new stuff you never anticipated. For example, I was talking about it yesterday. My slippers my feet smell like, I can't even explain it, because I don't think slippers were meant to be worn 24 hours a day, basically, or at least all waking hours. Put baking soda in them. Feet are still sweating out here. Anyway, another thing that we're dealing with is we're working from home. So I'm at home, got a laptop, I got a Zoom screen, and Raj, my producer, is in Los Angeles. Raj used to produce Max and Marcellus out in L.A. on ESPN L.A. Now he's my producer. So I rely, when I'm looking at the rundown, like what are we going to talk about next? I rely on Raj having the right thing up in front of me. Big mistake. Big mistake.
Yeah, that's your first mistake.
That's my first problem, right, Brendan?
You also should rely on the sound that Brendan just played, which was leading you into what we're doing. We call that a blinker that they put together.
I wanted to, but then it was talking
about the Jets.
I wanted to, but I also wanted to credit the right sources, and you know, you were doing
there's
the fantasy
no
football
the right
team.
Sources.
Rich Cimini, ESPN Jets reporter, has this to say about the hire for the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, who is an excellent defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, when Saleh took over, they had the dead last defense in the NFL. Within two seasons, he had them in consecutive seasons after that, a top five defense, I want to say. He knocked everybody out in the interview. They all loved him. His former players like Richard Sherman. And Richard Sherman just tells you what he thinks. It's like, they got a great one. Matter of fact, when the Giants were looking for coaches, I remember thinking Saleh was in the mix. I was like, yeah, that'd be good. Jets have real competency at the top now. And this is what Rich Cimini, ESPN's Jets reporter, has to say about Sam Darnold's future in New York, given this hire.
When a defensive guy becomes the head coach, the most important hire is the offensive coordinator. And as Adam Schefter reported, Mike LaFleur, who is the passing game coordinator in San Francisco, is expected to follow Saleh to New York to become the Jets' offensive coordinator. He comes from the Shanahan system. And I think that's really interesting because Sam Darnold, whose future appears to be up in the air with the Jets, is very familiar with that system. He ran it as a rookie with the Jets in 2018. So maybe that tilts the scale a little bit towards Sam remaining with the Jets this offseason.
By the way, Saleh is a Lebanese-American. By the way, you know, I have some Lebanese-American friends. I haven't even called them about this. I bet you they're very excited about it. And by the way, why not, right? When if you're a member of a group that is underrepresented, and in this case, like, the Lebanese population in this country is not like, for example, the African-American population, unbelievably underrepresented in coaching positions. But still, of course, you're going to be excited if you see another member of your group in a position of leadership. It shows you what's possible. And Saleh is just a good, like, Saleh is just a, seems to be on every account a good hire. Now, you heard what Samini just said, Rich Samini just said, ESPN Zone. That was to John Anderson on SportsCenter. You heard what he just said, which is when a defensive coordinator gets hired, the question is who are they going to hire to run the offense? But as many have pointed out, the most important thing for the Jets is not whether it was an offensive or a defensive coordinator. It was that you had a leader and a guy who can head an organization as head coach because the Jets have been dysfunctional. Bart Scott, former Jet, former Raven, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, Bart?
What's up, Sir Maximus? How you doing today?
I'm doing well. You sound like you're doing well. You sound fired up about this Saleh hiring.
Well, first of all, he's from Dearborn, Michigan, which is in my hood, you know what I'm saying? Nah. I'm from Michigan. Dearborn's maybe about...
Just when he was getting to how far Dearborn was from wherever in Michigan, he got cut off. Damn, Bart. By the way, Bart Scott can be heard on Bart and Han, as many of you know, in the New York area, from noon to 2 Eastern, the lead-in here to the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Raj, I have an idea. Why don't we try to get Bart back? He may be having some problems. I'm not a producer, but let me just try. Maybe we call him back and see if we can get him back on the show. I was looking forward to talking to Bart. Oh, there he is, Bart.
Maximus.
Bart, I'm sorry that Raj dropped your call. That was uncalled for. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but anyway.
See, he don't like to see Jet fans happy. That's what that's all about, Maximus.
Yeah, well, neither
but,
do
you
I.
Know, but all honesty, it's funny. It's amazing how people always call you when they know you're working, and I pushed the wrong button, but I'm back. I'm excited about the hire, and I'll tell you why. I'm excited because finally they got a leader of men, and I'm happy that finally they broke outside of that structure. They didn't hire a search firm. They let Joe Douglas do what most general managers do, and that's make their own hire, because at the end of the day, they're going to be attached at the hip. And if this ship sinks, Joe Douglas is going down with it because he's out of excuses. Yeah, Adam Gase wanted Joe Douglas, but Joe Douglas realized early on that Adam Gase wasn't the man that he wanted to put the future of his legacy and stride with.
Hey, let me ask you something. You're working with Alan Hahn, obviously, on Bart and Hahn. You guys are doing great. Do you have to pretend to like hockey ever on that show? You know how Alan Hahn will pretend to like hockey sometimes, or maybe he really does? What's that?
I do every once in a while, but he gets fined $5 every time he mentions hockey.
Yeah.
But I have to admit to you, Maximus, I am a closet Red Wings fan, because guess what? Growing up in Detroit, it's been plenty of years when the Lions were nothing, where the new breed Pistons sucked, and you looked up and you had nothing to root for. But the Red Wings were pretty much the Yankees of hockey. They were spending that money, and they were winning championships with Federer, Iserman, and all those other guys. I was good. So I became a hockey fan because I had nothing else to root for unless I wanted to cry myself to sleep thinking about the new breed Pistons.
Bart, if you keep talking about hockey, everyone who's listening to this show is going to cry themselves to sleep. Listen, nothing against hockey. I tried to get into it as a kid. I don't know. I couldn't do it. But around the playoffs, I become Maxi Pucks. Listen, Bart Scott here on the Max Kellerman Show on the Goodyear Hotline. So do you think Saleh obviously he's a defensive-minded guy, but do you think he will create the kind of atmosphere where Sam Darnold can succeed? The Jets aren't picking one. I think if they were, obviously they'd take Trevor Lawrence. But I think they feel that, it seems to me, that from what I'm hearing, they feel that Sam Darnold is you know, just about as good a prospect still as someone like Justin Fields. If they stick with Fields, how can Saleh help Darnold?
Well, I think they can stick with Sam for one more year. I don't think you pick up his option. You make him play it out like Mitchell Trubisky and say, hey, listen, we've given you every excuse about why you can't be successful. We're going to go out. We're going to draft the top offensive lineman in the game. We're going to go out and get the top, you know, offensive guard on the market. We're going to try and go get you Zach Ertz because of the connection with Joe Douglas in Philadelphia. Ertz is going to be the odd man out. They can't afford to keep him. And we're going to give you everything you need to be successful. Much like we saw with Baker Mayfield, they went out and they got him a lot of Ferraris, but they forgot to give him a couple of F-150s because that's how this game is won, with guys in the trenches. So they're going to build throughout the trenches and going to give him some luxury parts on the outside. And if he doesn't become successful, then what they can do, Max, they have two first-round draft picks the next year, and then they can get the number one prospect, because if Sam Darnold isn't successful, that pick is going to be in the top 10 again, plus Seattle's pick, so they can package that to move up next year. This buys you time to really evaluate Sam Darnold, and let's see if Mike LaFleur has the same magic in him as Matt LaFleur, his brother, and see if they've learned, you know, how to put a good running game together from Shanahan and merge the two philosophies and see what we come up with.
I want to get to Lamar Jackson in a second, but I just want to go back now for Jets fans and say, and I'm a Giants fan, and I know in the NFL you can't really tank. It's more important to establish a winning culture than maybe to get the number one pick.
Yep.
Almost always. But if there's a transformational guy at quarterback available at number one who's fundamentally considered almost universally better than everyone else, and you are the kind of rotten organization who needs a guy who's so great that he'll be great independent of his surroundings, like Mahomes and Brady and Aaron Rodgers, no matter where they would have gone, they'd have been great. Now, better situations would make them greater, but they'd be great. A lot of good quarterbacks, most good quarterbacks, highly dependent on the situation. Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, those guys need to be in the right situations. To me, Sam Darnold's hoping to be a guy like that. But Trevor Lawrence looks like maybe he could be part of the former group. Are you willing to admit you played for the Jets, you're an NFL player, competitive, that they screwed up by winning any games at all this year, and in fact, the organization should have tanked?
No, they were trying to tank. And listen, they weren't trying to win, but this is the thing. You needed Sam Darnold to be a willing participant. And Sam Darnold knew that all he had to do was win one game. Who knew it would come against the number one defense in the NFL? Who knew it would come against a team that's playing in the divisional round? And what happened is, it was an unlikely situation. But guess what? They got it done, and Sam Darnold he saved his career at least for a year to give himself an opportunity, because he would have been one of these guys that's put into this quarterback carousel of guys in which we think could play football but not sure. And that involves Jameis Winston. That involves Marcus Mariota, Blaine Gabbert, all those guys that we thought that could be good but ended up getting lost in the sauce and lost their opportunity to be the leader of any football team. It's only 32 jobs, and you have 35% turnover every year, Max. You're always going to have four or five quarterbacks that everybody are convinced that can be a franchise quarterback. This year it's Trey Lance, it's Fields, it's Lawrence, and it's the other kid from BYU. You know, next year it'll be another four. So the Jets have an opportunity. But, yeah, they absolutely were trying to get Trevor Lawrence. They were tanking for Trevor. Absolutely.
Bart, do you know what when you said that thing about how he saved – Sam Darnold saved it, every Jets fan is thinking, great, Sam Darnold saved his career.
Yeah.
So he blocked Trevor Lawrence. That is so like – it's – the Jets are so bad. They're not even good. Obviously, they're terrible at winning, but they're not even good at losing. They're the losingest franchise until they absolutely must lose a game, and then they're losers at losing. This is why, New York, if you're listening to me, I know the Giants have been through a very dark
time.
Yeah,
I'm about to say, actually, Max, your Giants have the worst record in the last 5 years, actually, just to
Whose
point
future
that out.
Is brighter, Giants or Jets, Mr. Jet?
Well, I'll tell you what, whose future is brighter? I'm going to go with the Jets with
That's
that
incorrect.
One. I think in 2 years, and Max, I'll bet you a sandwich, or I'll bet you whatever you like. I bet you that in the next 2 years that the Jets are going to be farther along in the process and potentially a Super Bowl contender in the next 3 years. You heard it here first. I'm telling you, Joe Douglas knows what he's doing. He's had a tremendous first draft, and he has a lot of draft equity to build this football team.
He does.
And he has a lot of money.
See, I like the Giants coach. I think Joe Judge is promising. I think Joe Judge is very promising. But Gettleman makes me worry. Gettleman makes me worry.
Right.
And I will say this as a Giants fan. I don't mind a conservative franchise that looks to the past and sees how they've won in the past and sticks to their core principles. But I don't like a reactionary, a reflexively conservative franchise. Meaning when things don't feel right for the Giants, they reflexively go to the thing that feels safe for them instead of, I think, really putting in the hard work to figure out how to make things better. And I think that's held them back in recent years. To the Jets' credit, they just seem to have made an excellent hire. But, Bart, I think you know how you say you come to an impasse, you can agree to disagree. Let's just agree you're wrong. You'd always rather be a Giants fan. How dare you? The great Bart Scott, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. You can hear Bart Scott on Bart and Han from noon to 2. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Whose legacy has more riding on this game tomorrow? Brady or Breeze?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I think Urban Meyer can turn the Jags around. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Where did you hear Tom Brady's record versus Drew Brees? And also, what's the likelihood that if you beat a team twice in the same season, you beat them again in the playoffs? I have all that for you. Tell you what it means. Stephen A. Smith goes beyond the headlines to unlock a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. Stream all this and more on his new show, Stephen A.'s World, exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPN+, and you can catch me every weekday on ESPN Radio and ESPN+ at 2 p.m., along with Greeny at 10 a.m., Barton Hahn at noon, and Shanae Golic Jr. at 4 p.m., all, of course, Eastern Standard Time.
Far more likely than not that this will be the last postseason that we see from Drew Brees.
You look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady ain't got nothing else to prove to nobody.
The minute that he signed with the Bucs and came in the division, felt like that was going to be a team that had playoff aspirations and beyond, just like us.
But I'm going to get to Brady and Brees right now. I just got to say, LeMahieu signs with the Yanks, re-signs 6 years, $90 million. All I can say is I'm sure that's more years than the Yankees wanted to give him. But that's a great deal on the per annum basis. LeMahieu is an MVP caliber player. Yankees are getting 15 a year in this day and age. That's a great deal. All right. Brady versus Brees. I said tomorrow. It's Sunday. Brees is 5-2 versus Brady in his career, including 2-0 this year. So even if you take out this year, he's 3-2 against Brady. I did that math right away, Rog. You see that in my head. I didn't have to write it down or anything. I used my fingers, maybe. 5-2. If you take away these two games, 3-2. I got it. 3-2. But what's interesting is everyone thinks, like, how do you beat a guy three times in the same season? You know what the record is in modern NFL history since the merger, 1969-70? In modern NFL history, if you beat a team twice in the regular season, what are the odds that you're going to beat them again in the playoffs? Teams are 14-7 under those circumstances. They win twice as much as they lose, which stands to reason. You've beaten them twice. You're better than they are. You're not going to win every game, but you're usually going to win. So in the playoffs, you're twice as likely to win as to lose. Now, is there any kind of extenuating circumstances here? There are a bunch. Number one, Drew Brees is ostensibly healthy. Michael Thomas is back. Emmanuel Sanders. Kamara. Drew Brees has his full complement of weapons. He's barely had that this entire season. Or else he's been hurt when those guys are available, right? But now they're all available. And Brees, because of the injury, had an extended absence from the field of play. So maybe a little less wear and tear, actually, at this point in the season compared to recent years in the playoffs. And the Saints get pressure from their front four. They don't have to bring extra guys to get pressure. And Brady don't like pressure. Look, I know it's kind of, it's like in boxing. You don't like it in the body. No one likes it in the body, genius, right? You can hit a guy in the body, hit him in the body. But same thing with quarterbacks. Oh, they don't like pressure. If you can get pressure on the quarterback without sending an extra guy, oh, gee. You mean if you can go have someone unblocked running at the quarterback and yet not have extra guys to do it, so the defense is still covering the offensive players, that's harder for a quarterback because they have less time to throw to? Yeah, yeah, it is. But especially older quarterbacks who are not mobile. It's true. It's a bad matchup for Brady. Here is the one caveat. Yo, here's the one caviar, son. Here's the one caveat. Ready? Antonio Brown. We forget Antonio Brown's on the team. The way we think of Antonio Brown is like a nice receiver, but not AB. Mike Evans is a stud. Godwin's a stud. Neither one of those guys are in Antonio Brown's class. Do you understand? It's not a hard choice. Evans at his best is not shining AB's shoes, and Evans is excellent. Antonio Brown, if he's at his best, is one of the five best receivers who ever lived. Don't believe me? Look it up. Don't just... And by the way, he plays great under pressure. I've talked to people in the NFL. Guys around the team, former teammates, guys who played against him. You know what they say? The basic attitude is, take a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. He does care what his teammates think about him. Like a good dude. Doesn't always get along with every teammate, whatever, but he cares. Cares too much. Feels that pressure in the playoffs, right? Odell's had bad playoff games. Giants get to the playoffs. He's dropping passes and stuff. AB don't care about anyone but AB. Like, Antonio Brown, so consequently feels no pressure in the big game. He just balls out. He's clutch. And really, how many receivers can you say for sure are better than him? Jerry Rice? Randy Moss? Who else? Yeah, give me a guy. You're like, yeah, that dude was definitely better than AB. Who?
T.O.
Who? Who was Roger?
T.O. Terrell Owens.
No, I'm sorry. You can't look at T.O. and say he's definitely better than AB at all. And by the way, AB was putting up like crazy numbers, man. And
he has better abs. Great.
You might argue T.O. against AB or Julio Jones against AB or Calvin Johnson at his best, but it's an argument. It is an argument. AB was great. And he should be in his physical prime, right? If he's really Antonio Brown, maybe that changes the equation. Ronald in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Okay, Max, it's Breeze is under more pressure for all the reasons that you just said. They have this super defense, and he has all of his guys on offense. I'm just going to say this. If the Bucs beat the Saints this weekend, Brady and Breeze will forever be intertwined as the Russell and Chamberlain of the NFL. Mm.
Good one. Good pull. Although, in this case, Wilt Chamberlain not only put up the better numbers, but also one more, right? Like, you know, Brady is both Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell if the Bucs beat the Saints. Let me say this. Here's what's on the line for Brady. Tom, it's pretty easy to go to all those Super Bowls when you're in the worst division in the history of football over 20 years. Name one great quarterback he ever had to play. Great quarterback he ever had to play in his entire career in the AFC East. None. The best one was Chad Pennington, who was, before he got hurt, was a nice quarterback with a wet noodle for an arm, but a very good quarterback. But no one would say he's a Hall of Famer or anything like that. And usually he's playing garbage. So yeah, you know what you have to do? You wind up with the best record in the division every year. You have a bye in the first round. You win one home playoff game, you're in the AFC Championship game. You mean to tell me the first season Tom Brady goes to a division with another great quarterback, Drew Brees, he loses all three? That's bad for Tom Brady. You know what's on the line for Drew Brees? You're absolutely right. More. This is probably Drew Brees' last season. When you talk about the greatest quarterbacks ever, there is a video on that someone put together that is amazing to me. It was Damian Woody retweeted it. It was from the New Orleans Saints. They put it together. Stephen A. said today, he was talking about Drew Brees, and he said he believes that Drew Brees is going to walk away from the game of basketball. He meant football. But the New Orleans Saints, as Damian Woody said, got petty and they put together a highlight of Drew Brees doing like basketball, supposed basketball highlights, like throwing a football into a basketball hoop. But it looked like a first take of something. I'm watching it right now. He ducks down into the water. He's talking about like blind football three-pointer, whatever he called it. Pops out of the water and, I don't know, throws the ball, what, 30 yards into the like, Drew Brees is the most accurate quarterback who ever lived, retired the prize. Who's even in his category for accuracy? I saw another social media video. He competed against an Olympic archer. They had like 10 shots at the bullseye. The archer got like 3 or 4. Drew Brees got like 7 or 8. It's unbelievable. But who are the 5 best quarterbacks ever? Anyone putting Drew Brees there? Outside of New Orleans, no one is. 10 best? Yeah, he's probably on the 10 best list. For how long, though? With guys like Mahomes on the way, right? If Drew Brees can go on to win another Super Bowl, that changes things. 2 Super Bowls? Look what happened to Elway. 2 Super Bowls? And this is the best team he's been on, giving him his best chance since he won the first one. His last shot, probably huge pressure on Drew Brees, more than on Brady. Check out Marvel Studios' WandaVision original series, now streaming only on Disney Plus. Should Russell Wilson be able to call the shots in Seattle? No doubt next for do-it-yourself projects. You know the Home Depot is always in your corner. Now with their mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand with digital tools like image search. Just snap a picture of something. It'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And their product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done, no doubt next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, what we got? What we got, Roger?
All right. Hey, check it out. Word on the street is Russell Wilson wants input on the offensive coordinator search. Now, the Seahawks should give him whatever he wants.
Nah, son. Not whatever he wants, but he should absolutely have input on the search. Russell Wilson's an all-time great quarterback. In fact, Russell Wilson this year fell off in the second half. It looked like this is the year he's going to win MVP. He fell off in the second half. But I would say until the second half of this year, over the last half decade, he's been the best player in the NFL. Not meaning he was the best player in any one season. He probably wasn't. But over the entirety of the half decade, there was no one worth more than Russell Wilson in the NFL. So, yeah, he has standing, and they should take his input.
All right, check it out. Hey, after missing out on a James Harden trade, more word on the street is Ben Simmons was on the block. Hey, check it out. The 76ers should still trade Ben Simmons.
Nah, son, and I'm someone who feels that Simmons and Embiid are better off separate. Not that they can't play well together, but that Simmons' development as a player would more mirror the Greek freaks if he was on a team built just for him. That said, the way Kevin Durant's playing, what answer is there in the East? And Ben Simmons is the closest hope you have. Like, Simmons, no one's going to stop Durant one-on-one defensively. But Simmons is your best bet, and you're going to need him. No, the Sixers should hang on to Ben Simmons. And by the way, even Saber, like, analytically, you know how, okay, Daryl Morey's into the analytics, so who does he get? Dwight Howard, Seth Curry, Danny Green. You know what they all have in common? Extremely high percentage scorers. They only take high percentage shots, and they're good at converting them. But that's not Simmons. However, Simmons has created more open looks from three than any player in the NBA since he's entered the league.
All right. Hey, check it out. As you heard earlier on this week on our show from friends Damian Woody and Bart Scott, the NHL season has started this week. Max Kellerman can name one current hockey player. Come on, Max.
Is Wayne Gretzky still playing?
Nah, son.
What about Mark Messier?
Mark Messier, you going to? Come on, give me one.
I refuse to dignify that with a response.
All right, we'll move on.
There's like a LeBron somewhere, hey, I think. Not a LeBron, a LeBron.
Take a listen to Adam Schefter.
I think there's a real possibility that happens. And I can tell you that in speaking to people across the league, they've raised that issue and concern that Eric Bieniemy might not be in the catbird seat here to land one of these jobs.
Eric Bieniemy could get passed over again.
No doubt. And by the way, A lot is made of this, and including by me. Look, there aren't a lot of black offensive coordinators. And those are the guys getting a lot of the jobs nowadays, right? And at least until recently. We'll see if the trend continues. And now you have a black offensive coordinator, who, by the way, is the offensive coordinator of the best offense in the league. And he can't get a job? I have to imagine Bienemy does not interview very well as a head coach. You know, people have certain things in mind in terms of the style of leadership they want from a head coach. And I think in Bienemy's case, because think of how good a team would look if they hired him. They know it would look great, and obviously he knows what he's doing on offense. The fact that he hasn't landed a job tells me, suggests to me, maybe in his personality in the interview isn't coming across. Or if it is, it's coming across as not like a head coach. L.A., you think the Lakers are sweating the Nets' big three? Hear what AD had to say. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.